Welcome to Moon Harbor Heroes. Today's issue is Faces, issue 71, Catwalk. On the cover, we see a raised catwalk extending out towards the reader. In lights above the catwalk, we can see the words, "Presenting the Sentinel." Amongst the crowd, we see Lighthammer, Ashley, Brian, and Dr. Nathaniel Hall. We turn the page and our story begins. This issue opens on a shot inside the photo shoot just after our last issue, and we see Inky walking down a catwalk. Cameras like snapping pictures from all sides. Inky, what have you been hiding in that duffel bag the whole time? What does your new outfit look like on this catwalk?
So the reason I didn't want to wear my costume is because they came up with a new costume that is more trendy, and they figured, like, it's 2021 and all the rage is like vague gender expression. So I'm wearing a skirt, and my Ram's Head helmet had to go. So they replaced it with, like, it's still a helmet, but it's more like what Daft Punk would wear if they were a nature themed superhero.
I love that description.
And I'm very self-conscious about this.
And in the background of this, we can see that Lighthammer and Void Viper are both here. Are you doing anything particular in the crowd? I can't remember how you all are together at this point. Are you next to each other in the crowd, or is there still an uncomfortable amount of space between the two of you?
I think I'm still, like, distrustful, but, like, I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt. I think I'm probably near Brian. Maybe, like, 4 or 5 people away. No, that's even worse. I'm just next to Brian.
People between us?
I'm next to Brian, I think is the best way to go here.
Sounds good. I think we get a shot, like, as Inky is walking on this catwalk past the two of you. We can see Inky in the foreground, the two of you in the background. And we see Nathaniel Hall walking up to the crowd, and he puts his hand on Lighthammer's shoulder.
Oh, hi, Dr. Hall. I didn't realize you would be here. Is Daisy doing something here?
Not Daisy. I designed a few of the suits, and he kind of, like, gestures towards some of the other heroes waiting in the wings for this shoot. If anyone has any ideas of heroes they want to interject here, feel free. If not, that's totally okay.
Oh, I think we need the total reverse of Enki, and somebody is now wearing a goat's head.
Oh my god. The person on directly after Enki is just wearing just a goat's head and very little else. Just like, what the...
Is it my old goat's head?
I think it's clearly designed after your old goat head. Like, someone saw it and was like, oh, yeah, that's a look. It's not my favorite part of the job, but it does keep money coming in for my research. Speaking of, how's everything? And I think he, like, stops himself as he, like, glances over and sees Brian next to you.
Everything is going well. You know... It is... I'm giving him a look like, please say something, because I can't think of anything clever to, like, get myself out of it.
I mean, the adjustments to your suit, I mean.
Right, those are going great. Yeah, I like the little teleportal thing you added to the gauntlets.
And everything's up to specifications? No problems?
I mean, it's Moon Harbor, there are always problems, but no, we're good.
Just busy cheering Yankee on.
I'm glad to hear that, Nick. You should come by the lab sometime. I wouldn't mind running some tests if the new equipment's been used.
Yeah, that would be fantastic. I will call you after this is over.
Sounds good. And he kind of, like, awkwardly nods to you, looks over at Brian, like, awkwardly nods to Brian, and we see him, like, kind of going back to mingle into the crowd.
Before he goes, I'm going to grab him and be like, oh, I'm so sorry, I'm so rude. Dr. Hall, this is Brian. Brian, this is Dr. Nathaniel Hall. He is the designer of Daisy's new costume. He works with Daisy's team really closely.
Oh, you're the one Daisy talks about all the time. He holds his hand out for a shake.
Hey. And then I shake. I think I had to reach around. I probably had to reach around Lighthammer.
Fantastic. And I think the moment your hand, like, closes around his, you shake and... In a speech bubble inside your brain that only you can hear, we hear the Phoenix go, oh, what's this?
A smile.
And I think as like Nathaniel Hall starts walking back into the crowd, the Phoenix starts speaking to you. Just, Brian, who was that?
Some costume designer. Don't tell me.
There's an energy there that I want. We turn the page, and we see Sana and Nube. Where are the two of you at this point? So I think when we last saw you, you scattered because cops were showing up.
Yeah, then we had ice cream. And now my question to Satya is, are we back at the apartment, or did we decide to go on a date?
I feel like we were going back to the apartment, and then, like, Sana saw signs for the aquarium and was like, oh, I kind of want to go there. I was like, she suddenly perked up at the idea of, if we're not doing any more superhero things today, she maybe wants her first aquarium trip.
Yeah, it's definitely not a date. It's just two friends going to an aquarium and spending time with each other at an aquarium, just the two of them.
Delightful.
Yes, this is absolutely a gal pal thing to do.
This is what you do with your friend. I think we have a panel from like the fish's perspective of like the water and some plants and then the glass and then Nube and Sana. I imagine they're not like completely apart from each other, but they're leaving room for Jesus right now between them.
I'm gonna toss in a little detail, but I love that framing. I think like this opening shot that we see from the fish's perspective, we also see what at first appears to be a really menacing castle in the foreground and the two of you in the background, and then we see it's just like one of those fish castle things in a tank.
I think I came to a aquarium when I was younger. Don't remember much of it.
This is Sana's first time, so she's just like in a staring contest with a very colorful fish, and she looks delighted. Like, oh my god, I've only ever seen pictures of these in books.
Nuba doesn't even realize what she's saying. She just goes, "You're so cute." I mean, the staring contest is fish are good. Turns around.
I think the fish one's way. He's like, "Does that mean I win?" Didn't blink, but it did go away.
I think they have cowered in your superiority. Hey, I wanted to mention something while we're here. Something I've been thinking about. That's kind of silly, but also kind of important to me. So, you remember how when we left your dad's place, there was the whole deal with Gargoyle?
Yeah, I remember.
So I'm not super connected with like my traditions, and like I usually try to avoid everything with my dad, but there's one thing I always enjoyed, and that's been stuff around Dia de los Muertos. So since it's kind of coming up, I was figuring maybe. And she, like, closes her eyes and then looks at you. I wanted to make an ofrenda, like, a little offering, like an altar for Gargoyle in our little apartment. I know there's not a lot of space, but I figure I use the half desk. I put, like, we could put, like, a nice like cloth on top of it. I have this picture, and she pulls out her phone, and it's an old picture of you and her and Gargoyles in the background.
Sana gets in very close to look.
And so, like, I could print this picture out and put it in a picture frame, and I don't know, we could have some of their favorite things. If I remember what their favorite things were. This is silly. She, like, puts the phone away.
I think as Nube's reaching to put the phone away, Sana kind of reaches for it and ends up, like, holding the back of Nube's hand. And it's just like, no, I that would be nice. I've never thought to do anything like that. Like, most of the time when the constructs in the house die, it's just... Oh, Dad just treats it as, like, a thing that broke. But like Gargoyle is one that's lasted a long time, and
I felt bad about it. And I know it's a small gesture, but the way you do these sufferings is you put things they would like, sometimes like food or things they would enjoy, so that they can come visit them and you can pay their respects. Maybe you share a meal with them. But it'd just be a nice thing to have around the apartment for a while.
I think Sana just hugs Nube.
I think Nube's taken aback for a second and then hugs you back close.
They're framed by very colorful fish because the artist decided to have fun at the setting.
Oh, fantastic.
It has that, like, aquarium-like look of it, too.
The fish around you all have to be the lesbian flag colors.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
Delightful. And we get a pulled back panel showing, like, the full room you're all in. There's just, you know, various civilians walking around, but we also see a little, like, souvenir shop with all these stuffed fish and, like, various stuffed aquatic animals. And I think there's a, like, stuffed crab sitting on the table of this thing, and its eyes move looking directly at the two of you. We turn the page, and we see, like, just the most cliche, like, magic workshop. There's, like, a crystal ball on a table, and through that crystal ball, we see the image, like, of that, like, stuffed crab's eyes. And we see, like, the shadows of a large figure hunched over it. And we see a speech bubble that says, "Gargoyle, are you ready to take back what's mine?" And we turn the page. Our next panel, we see, once again, inside the building the photo shoot was in. I think the shoot's done. There's a lot of, like, people mingling, various heroes talking. And Inky, Brian, Lighthammer, where are you all in this scene?
I'm just going around chatting to people about what's that guy's name?
Nathaniel Hall.
Yeah. You know, just wondering who's heard of him.
Cool. I'm gonna come back to the result of this in a second, but why don't you go ahead and give me a Pierce the Mask? You're just gathering general information on Nathaniel Hall. And while you roll that, Lighthammer and Inky, what are you all doing in this scene?
I think I just walked up to Lighthammer after my shoot, and I'm carrying my helmet in my arm. I walk up to Lighthammer and I say, "Well, boys can wear skirts."
Yeah, that's true.
It is. It is true. Boys can wear skirts, and you can see that I'm blushing.
There's a moment of gay panic on Nick's face, but it's not like gay panic like, "Oh, Inky is so cute," gay panic. It's like, I am not secure enough in my gender to have a gender conversation with someone else about gender. And I'm like, good. Yep, absolutely. Glad skirts. Hey, where's your manager?
So we're both just blushing and going, "Yeah, boys can wear skirts," while not looking at each other.
Yep.
Fantastic. And Brian, what was the result of that roll?
It was a 4.
Oh, nice. I'm going to give you the option. Do you want to ask one question off that list or not?
Yes, I do. I want to ask how I could get influence over them. We know this can't possibly go wrong.
I think we get, like, the panels of you just kind of going through the crowd asking almost anyone that looks important about Nathaniel Hall. And the general impression you come away from it with is that Nathaniel Hall, like, is well respected for what he does, which is make weirdly specific technologies. But that seems to be the biggest thing he cares about. Bringing him some, like, completely new tech or an excuse to work on some completely new tech will get you influence over him.
Well, now I'm having a serious identity crisis.
Fair. Our next panel, we cut back to the, like, awkwardness between Lighthammer and Inky. And we see a familiar face walk up to Lighthammer. It's our friend Ashley. who I think only Lighthammer knows is vaporware. And they walk up with just a big smile. It's like, Lighthammer, Inky, I didn't expect to see you all here.
Oh my god, what a crazy random happenstance. How fortuitous that you're here.
Laid it on a little thick. Did I do something to offend you?
Oh, I'm sorry. No, it's not you. I'm just kind of having a rough day. That wasn't directed at you. Anyone could have walked up and I would have snapped. My apologies. Hi, Ashley. It is really good to see you.
You as well. Inky, you looked great up there. I like the new look.
I like it too.
Would you mind if I stole Nick for a moment?
I curiously glance over and go, oh, is that your name? Okay. And I walk away and try to go find Brian.
What can I do for you, Ashley?
It came to my attention. You know Dr. Hall.
Oh, yeah, I just needed some upgrades to my suit.
Excellent. Maybe we can help each other out. You see, and she like steps close to you and pulls her phone up for you to see. There was a bank robbery just a couple hours ago, and the security footage has all gone missing, but I have it. And she presses play, and you can see Brian holding up a bank and making off with a like fair bit of money from this. She hands the phone to Lighthammer. I just think that maybe there's some way this doesn't get released to the police.
And, how is that?
Do you remember a couple weeks ago? I think her name was Jolene. Dr. Hall developed a piece of technology to stop her, and I need it. I'd ask Daisy, but she trusts me too much. I wouldn't want to ruin that.
Okay, you know, I will see what I can do. In the meantime, I mean, even if that did get released to the police, you know, there are so many shape-shifting villains in the area. Anyone could have done that, so...
Yeah, but this bank has this new DNA scanning technology, and she taps a few buttons and pulls up feeds. I mean, no matter where Brian actually was, I can guarantee that this will be authentic. At least authentic enough to cause a lot of problems.
You know, I would love to get some air. Do you want to step outside with me really quick?
I think I'd prefer to stay in a place where people can see us.
Great.
But see what you can do, okay? It'd be best if I had it by noon tomorrow.
You know, we supers can do a lot of good for our community. And I'm always happy to help the less fortunate. By the way, you should probably clean your house a little bit more. It's a little messy. And then I'm going to turn and walk away.
And I think our last panel of that conversation, we get a very uncharacteristic frown on her face. Inky, Void Viper, anything else you want at this like after party thing?
I want to congratulate Inky on coming into their own.
Brian, you know that's the worst possible thing you could do right now. Enki's going to be so awkward and it's going to be delightful.
What's that look like, Brian?
I assume it is Enki who comes up to Brian since Enki was looking for Brian.
Yep.
And I guess I'm just in the middle of, or I'm just finishing up a chat with some random person.
I just walk up to you and go, hey, but I'm staring at my feet.
Oh, hi, Enki. Congratulations!
Thank you.
So, should I start referring to you as she, they, or...
Boys can't wear skirts.
Oh, of course, yes. Right. Oh, Actually, that's a pretty cool idea.
I didn't like it at first, but then I really like wearing skirts. They're handy.
You know, I'm not going to lie. Brian is deep in thought.
You know, somebody told me that in Europe, all the boys wear skirts.
Delightful. So we turn the page. We get an editor's note that says later that evening, and we see Brian in his home. Brian, what are you up to?
So even though I've sort of taken down the whole network of robots, I still have sort of an archive of data collected about the city from over the years that I'm just searching into right now.
Excellent. Excellent. And I think we get the Phoenix talking in your brain. Just a continuous, just, are you going to find him, Brian? I want his energy. I've never felt something like it before. To the point it's just almost unbearable, constant chatter.
I'm not responding to it.
And then I think your phone rings.
Hello?
Hi, are you home?
Yeah, what's up?
Are you in your room or are you in another room of your house?
I'm looking around to see if, like, somebody's looking in the window. I'm in my room.
Great. A portal's gonna open, like, right by the door.
I am Alt-F4ing like mad.
Amazing.
Hi, I can't tell you why, but I need some tech, and I think you probably don't have it anymore, but you're the first person I wanted to ask. So, do you have something that if I plugged into a computer could make it and any computer connected to it just crash? Like a virus, or like, I don't know, a self-destruct button, or...
Does your suit still have... Or your suit is like a whole bunch of computer stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you take, like, 3 steps back?
I'm just gonna take, like, 3 steps back, apprehensively.
So there's a USB drive on the wall behind you, and it is magnetic, and it just, as you get close enough, it sort of slips forward and plugs into your suit.
Is that something I notice?
I'm hoping you'd notice it crashing your suit, or else it wouldn't be a very good demonstration.
Okay, great. That was really clever, Brian. If I unplug it, will it turn back on?
It does need to be connected to work.
Is there a way to, like, copy whatever's on this USB and just, like, keep it in the computer? Like, can I implant it in, I don't know, some zip file? I don't know how tech works. Just, can I hide it in a computer system so they can't find it?
Gears are spinning in Brian's head. I think I have an idea of how you could put something inside the machine.
I love that. That's a great idea. Can you have it to me now?
I look back and forth between my computer and Lighthammer. I'm sorry, I'm not sure where I put my toolbox, actually. Actually, I think the trash already came.
I sigh dramatically, and I'm like, I try to reach up to grab the flash drive, but I think it's, like, plugged in, like, on my shoulder blade, and with the amount of padding I have on, I just can't reach it. So I, like, turn around, and I'm like, can you please unplug this?
We hear, like, grinding of gears that are normally powered as you're physically forcing your suit to move.
Yeah, okay, there we go.
And after my suit reboots, I'm like, is this tech that would be in the Rider, like, sanctuary?
Oh, definitely.
Great. I'm going to open a portal to Felix's house.
I just want to go on record saying that you're never allowed to be mad at AV for using your home ever again.
Okay, wait. When have I first seen you use these portal powers?
When I grabbed you and pulled you through one during the fight a couple sessions ago.
Right. Yeah, I wasn't a fan of that.
Yeah, Lighthammer needs to have a conversation with someone about privacy.
I mean, have you ever teleported literally into someone's brain? There's other people that might need that conversation more.
Touché. And I just, like, hold it up and I'm like, okay, go get what you need.
Okie then. Yeah, I'll go through.
While you're doing that, I'm just like, okay, so here's the thing. There is someone, villainous someone, blackmailing a friend of mine, and I want to not have them get blackmailed. Well, they're blackmailing me with a friend of mine, and I don't want to get blackmailed. So I'm trying to, like, essentially crash their computer and every computer associated with their computer so they don't have that information anymore.
Okay, hopefully. I'm sure this is fascinating, but I already stopped listening 12 seconds ago when you started, and I'm opening every cabinet.
I have that, like, angry anime look on my face.
Motherfucker, I'm doing this for you.
Right?
It's so good.
I open my mouth and close it, and open my mouth and close it, and then I'm like, okay, great, what's your ETA on getting this fixed?
It's done. I hand to you this tiny little button with a black magnet on the bottom. I had to use the magnet for my helmet, but it'll work.
I can buy you a new magnet.
I can find a magnet.
Great. important question out of character. Did you step back through the portal? Or are you still in Rider's Sanctuary?
I'm still in Rider's Sanctuary. I gotta find another magnet.
Great. I don't think I make that connection. I closed the portal, and I'm gonna portal out of there.
Okay.
We get this panel of Brian just kind of standing there in the middle of Rider's Sanctuary as the portal snaps shut.
I mean, I can probably text somebody, you know, like, I guess not Lighthammer.
So we turn the page from Brian just standing kind of bewildered in the Rider Sanctuary to inside Nube and Sana's apartment. What's the scene look like there when we cut in?
I think they're both in that, like, post-museum trip thing of, like, their feet are tired and just Sana's shoes are God knows where. They're be watching something, and it's, like, clear that whatever it was they're watching, the credits are playing. I think Sana's kind of laying down on, like, two-thirds of the couch, so there's enough room for, like, Nube to sit. And she's kind of looking annoyed at the TV. And then she looks up at Nube and is just like, almost wish these shows weren't like this.
What do you mean?
Like, those two, they're definitely in love, and this ending is still just showing the, like, boring boy that she goes to class with, and no one cares about the boy, and they keep fighting alongside each other and just... I don't know. Nobody ever, like, kisses or actually says they're in love in these shows. It's just... Why do they do that? Why do they make them so obviously in love and then don't do anything with it ever?
I think Nui's a little flustered and goes, you know, feelings are hard. Sometimes you don't want to hurt someone, or you don't want to ruin a friendship, or you don't want to be rejected, or all of the above.
I don't know. I've never done the relationship thing. I've only honestly done the friendship thing with you. If you say so. Can Sana roll to pierce the mask on that? As she, like...
Oh, God, oh, yes.
Yes.
You have influence over me, so you got plus one on that.
Okay, pierce the mask is plus mundane.
Yep.
Which is good, because she's only got, like, the zero mundane.
Okay, so plus one.
Wow!
Am I, as the GM, allowed to spend three team? Am I allowed to do that?
Oh, you're allowed to tell me what happens here.
I mean, she's got, like... She does have, like, the one move of moldable for how... Where she can, even on a misc, ask, how can I gain influence over you? Which she already has. But also, she's like...
I have an idea of a bad result, maybe? Yeah, no, I think it's a bad result. Unless you have something icy.
I have a response for that four. But my proposal is that Sana asks a question, but it is entirely up to you whether or not you want to answer it. And you don't have to be truthful. But I have results for the miss, unless you have another idea.
My result for the miss is that Nube kisses her and then immediately leaves the apartment.
If you want that to be your response, feel free.
How do you feel about that, Satya?
I mean, like, just runs out an open window, is how this goes.
Yeah, she can fly.
So Nube kisses her. Sana is bright red and looks...
I think Nube, like, doesn't even think, like, leans forward and kisses you. And it's not even, like, a long kiss. It's, like, a kiss and, like, oh, I fucked up. And she, like, gets up and goes out the window.
Fantastic. And I'm going to keep the camera on Sana for a moment, if that's okay, as Nube just fucking flies out the window.
Sana's just going to quietly, like, reach a finger. Or it's going to be frozen for, like, two panels. And then for the last one, she's just going to, like, bring her... hand up to her lips, like, just feeling them, like, oh god, that actually happened. And I think the look on her face is almost terrified, because, yeah. And then she's gonna rush to the window, and I think Nube is already off in the distance when she does.
Fantastic.
This is what everyone wanted, right? This is what everyone wanted?
And I think in that shot of Sana, like, staring out the window, Nube is just out of sight at this point, but speckled across like the roofs of the city, you see just these small stone like birds just perched on various buildings. They look like decorations you'd expect on like an old library or train station, but just great. Speckled throughout the city. And I'm not sure whether or not you notice, that's entirely up to you. Mm-hmm. But the readers see them just kind of like very, very slightly turning their heads, just keeping watch over the city.
Yeah, no, I think right now she's not noticing. She's just like probably out loud yelling at herself and cussing herself out because she's like, you ruined it. You ruined everything. You ruined the one true friendship you've ever had. You have jeopardized yourself and her. You fucked up. You fucked up. What the fuck are you gonna do now? Are you gonna leave? Are you gonna go home? Like, I have no home. I have no one else. I just had her, and I just lost her. Why the fuck did I do that? And she's just, like, arguing with herself and flying the whole way. She's not flying anywhere in particular. She's just flying.
And I think in the backgrounds of these panels, we're seeing you flying and, like, getting your, like, monologue. We see these, like, stone birds just... And we've seen you go through a large mm-hmm. amount of the city at this point, just all of them turning and, like, following you with their eyes as you're flying by, like, absorbed in this monologue. And, Brian, did you have a text you wanted to interrupt any of this with?
That's everybody's phones going vroop.
You just sent it to, like, the full group chat?
That now exists.
Nube grabs her phone and, like, just glances to see who it is. She's too afraid.
Says three messages from Brian three messages in group chat.
She's not gonna look at them.
Perfect. Who does look at them?
I think Sana's looking at her phone first. She's like hovering over Nube's text thread, and then like the notification for Brian's messages comes and she checks that.
I just want to point out, I think Sana might have the saddest like text message section on her phone. Because it's what, like, four people?
Yeah.
Oh.
Okay, so you're getting these messages live then? All right, so first one you see. Hey guys, it's like a writer's house, could use a lift to home. If anybody's there. And then Brian is typing. And then you get an obnoxious sticker of a snake holding a which way sign. And then there's like... 10 moments of nothing, and then Brian is typing again.
Delightful.
I think Sana's eventually gonna, if the text chat is left quiet long enough, just ask, like, where even is that? Because she doesn't know Ryder or his house.
I'm assuming Requiem's busy right now, right?
I think you're gonna get a text in, like, 45 minutes being like, sorry.
Amazing. And Inky, are you carrying a phone at this point? I can't
just
remember.
Like to let you know, by 45 minutes, I'll have posted at least three really obnoxious stickers. And probably one GIF.
I think I've just been given a phone by my manager because I'm supposed to post stories to my Instagram. And I just nodded. But I barely got to grips with the idea that you can call people in the little box.
Fantastic. I just want to see if anyone else is going to be responding.
Important question. Does the designer skirt have pockets? And if not, were you given a purse or are you just carrying around the phone everywhere in your hand?
They tied a rope to the old ram's head and he just keeps stuff in there.
I have no idea how Inky does pockets and stuff. It's magic.
I need to put a panel here of Nube flying, like, staying in one place while flying and just looking at the message, because the moment Sana messaged, she'd pay attention. She's not responding, she's not even touched the keyboard, she's just looking at the message. Which, I don't know if we have red receipts. If we do, then if someone clicked on that message, they could see seen by Nube.
You know, I think most apps have that, but I probably wasn't expecting a response from Nube anyways.
So I think Brian got the where even is that from Sana, if I'm remembering right.
Yeah.
Oh my god, and then do we just have Sana and Nube staring at each other's read this message icon?
Yeah.
Put down. You know, that's a good question. Hang on. I'm gonna walk outside and try to find a street or street sign.
You do.
234 Squash Avenue?
We made canon here today, folks. Someone write it down.
It's for the wiki.
You know, this is the Rider State. It's going to be the only building on Squash Avenue.
If Sana does the, like, rooftop hopping thing, is that too far?
No, I think you can get there.
Okay, Sana's going to just jump out of the window. And I think there's, like, a little drawing of a spider in the corner of the panel that's, like, just says spider facts, like, about the Porsche spider and how it can, like, navigate 3D space really easily. And in the panels...
Spider facts.
Yep.
I love it.
And in the panel, you see Sana just jumping from rooftop to rooftop.
Moon Harbor Heroes is produced by Icy Sheets, TP Huth, Elliot Peterson, and Sean Geddes, and edited by Icy Sheets and Sean Geddes. Icy, they, them, can be found on Twitter at Icy New Year or at icynewyear.com. T or Tess, she or her or they, them, can be found on Twitter and Instagram at tphuth94. That's TPHUTH94. Elliot, she, her, or they, them, can be found at Elliot Yulen on Twitter. That's ELLIOTYLEN. Sean, any pronouns, can be found at The Crumpet on Twitter. That's THECRUMPIT. This issue was GM'd by Icy Sheets. Portia was played by Satya Amira Omer, she, her. Satya is a transbian with too many feelings and can be found at SatyaV20 on Twitter. That's SatyaV20. Quetzal was played by Fabi Garza, she, her. Fabi is a games writer, podcaster, sensitivity consultant, and the cutest bear girl in the world. She can be found at Fabi Garza on Twitter and as a member in Eidolon Playtest. Fabi Garza is FABBY_GARZA. Void Viper is played using the custom playbook The Bonded, written by Lauren Peterson, he, him. Lauren is the GM for Nerds on a Roll, where The Bonded was first introduced. You can find him at DM_LSP on Twitter and at DMLSP.itch.io. You can find Nerds on a Roll at NOAR_podcast on Twitter. Lighthammer/Requiem was played using the custom playbook The Persona, written by Kyle Rawlings of 5 Point Games. You can find Kyle, they, them, or he, him, on Twitter at 830toAwesome or at 5pointsgames.itch.io. 830toAwesome is the numbers 830 and then the words 2 awesome. You can find The Bonded and The Persona at the link in the show notes. The music in this issue is Black Vortex by Kevin MacLeod. A link to his website and the license will be in the show notes. Moon Harbor Heroes is played using Masks A New Generation, written by Brendan Conway and produced by Magpie Games, and other games by independent creators. Our logo was designed by Beautiful Beasties. She can be found on Instagram at beastly.doodles or on Patreon at patreon.com/beautifulbeasties. For updates and more information, find us on Twitch and YouTube by searching for Moon Harbor Heroes or follow us on Twitter at Moon Harbor Cast. If you want to contact us, DM us on Twitter or email us at moonharborheroes@gmail.com. If you enjoyed this issue, please leave us a review on your podcatcher of choice or tell a friend. 5-star reviews and word of mouth are really the best way to keep bringing these stories to more people. And thank you for helping us save the world. We'll see you next issue.